one small injection while Reginald uttered some interjections.
So you just heard about the CDC report saying there's already significant flu activity in every single state. John, what when your kids are sick, does your wife stay home with them?
Well, we've got various options, including a backup, as Kathleen Sebelius was suggesting there at the top. I also, you know, we're concerned about the injection. Tamiflu is being stockpiled, and we're in line to get Tamiflu in case kids start showing symptoms. We've got four kids, so we've got a lot of vectors in our house.
Well, for me, I'm the backup plan. I'm plan A, plan B, and the you know, I'm a single parent. If my kid's home, I stay home with him for the most part. The government has been telling schools, please only close as a last resort, but there's already been 187 school closures since the school year started last month, and a report released Wednesday by the Brookings Institution says, get this, school closings could cost the nation $10 to $47 billion. Can we afford to get sick? That's really the question this morning. We're speaking to Kathleen Murphy. She's a health services coordinator for Milwaukee Public Schools. So, Kathleen, you were saying that you had a number of school closings earlier, last school year, right? But not yet this year.
Yes, we did. Last school year, last spring, when the epidemic was in full force, we closed approximately 16 schools within 2 weeks. And you're right, it was incredibly disruptive to folks. And, of course, going forward, that is not the new strategy that's been proposed by the CDC. If severity of disease gets much worse than it is now, there may be other options on the table. But currently, that's not the preferred option for managing disease transmission.
Well, in the Milwaukee Public Schools, you've got a lot of families that come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. So what kind of hardship does this put on families if a school closes?
Well, we really do. Approximately 75 to 80% of our children eat two meals a day at school. So right there, when schools close, there's an impact on their nutritional status and a family's ability to meet that child's need in that regard. We have children who are getting daily occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy. Of course, those services are not happening when schools close. And then on top of it, a parent's ability to care for their child if they're in a workplace that doesn't have a flexible sick leave or child care policy.
That's the question there. We're also joined by Ross Hammond from the Brookings Institute, co-author of this report, Economic Cost and Healthcare Workforce Effects of School Closures in the U.S., and also Dr. Fahim Yunus. He's an epidemiologist and a specialist in infection prevention. He joins us from Baltimore. So, Ross, you heard Kathleen mention the cost for parents, but you know, this really is an important thing. I mean, we're talking about a lot of people, 59 million American workers who don't get paid sick days.
That's right, Kathleen. And as Kathleen mentioned earlier, a lot of those workers do not get paid sick leave and may actually also rely on subsidized school meals and lots of other facilities that the school provides. So I think there are important reasons not to close schools. That doesn't mean that children who are sick shouldn't stay home, but it means that the school itself shouldn't close entirely.
So what are these costs? You talked about $10 to $47 billion overall across the nation. What kind of costs are in there?
Sure, that's a very big number, and that would be for closures across the entire United States. The numbers are generated in the following way. Of course, when schools close, then parents have to find a way to look after their kids. And in some households, there will be adults who can care for children without missing work, but in others, adults will have to miss work. And those missed work hours means less goods and services are produced in the economy, and that's a cost to the economy, to the gross domestic product. So what our study does is it gives careful projections of how much worker absenteeism school closures might produce, how many households will have to have a parent who misses work, and therefore how extensive those economic costs might be. So we do have this very large number for all U.S. schools for a four-week closure that's, as you say, $10 to $47 billion. But we also break down the cost per student, so we can look at more discrete regional closures. So the cost per student turns out to be about $142 per student per week. So to give you an example, closing all New York City schools for 4 weeks could cost the economy about $1 billion.
You also said the value of the lost class time, Ross Hammond from the Brookings Institution, would be $6.1 billion.
Per week, yes, it could be. It could be across the entire U.S., and that's a fairly conservative estimate.
So we're also joined by Dr. Fahim Yunus, an epidemiologist. Doctor, you wrote in the Baltimore Sun that the CDC shouldn't be telling people to stay home. Why is that?
I think the real point here is that as we go deeper into this pandemic, the reality is going to kick in that life for an average American in the left lane, people just like what Mr. Hammond and Ms. Murphy are saying, schools will have to remain open. People will have to go to work. Say, for example, more than 70% of the Americans, when polled, they said they will go to work if they were sick. Now, we have 59 million people without a paid sick day. Say 10% of them get the flu, and another 70% of that 10% end up going to work. That's more than 5 million people, potentially contagious folks out there. So all I'm saying is, as we get deeper into this pandemic, we will see people coughing and sneezing out there. And what is our plan to mitigate that?
Well, Dr. Yunus, you know, you're an epidemiologist, and you know, the question really is, what tools do we have if people are going to go to work? Does Tamiflu, which is supposed to combat the viral load in the body, it's an antiviral drug, which is recommended if you start to show symptoms. Does that prevent contagion? Is that any way going to mitigate some of the things you're talking about if people do continue to work or go to school?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Tamiflu can be used as a prophylaxis. But once again, let's be practical. A five-day course of Tamiflu may cost more than $90. Mm. And for 46 million Americans without insurance, and how many times will you take that course? You'll have people sick around you every month, every week. The reality is we need to come up with a more practical solution. And therefore, vaccine as well. We know from certain studies that less than 50% or around 50% folks are likely to roll up their sleeves for this H1N1 vaccine, which we in the medical community feel that it's going to be an important tool in our arsenal to fight this battle. And just like we've been promoting hand washing, there are other barrier precautions, just using a face mask, which right now we just simply don't have that culture. I always talk to my colleagues and I ask them, when was the last time you were in an elevator with someone who was coughing and sneezing, or at coworkers in our cubicles, and we've seen that. But we normally don't see a scenario of people walking with a face mask if they are sick. And that's something, when you go to 2003 and look at how Hong Kong worked, though they learned a lot of lessons, but 76% of the people in Hong Kong were wearing a face mask in the midst of that outbreak.
So Kathleen Murphy, the health services coordinator for Milwaukee Public Schools, you heard us talking earlier about the value of the lost class time being in the billions across the nation. And I'm wondering, if a school closes, there are lots of schools that are now making sort of homeschooling options. Are the Milwaukee Public Schools trying to come up with options where the kids can do their homework and their classwork from home?
Absolutely. Milwaukee Public Schools has something we call SOFA School. That's available on the internet. And of course, we, like many urban school districts, have a digital divide with many of our children who may not have computers or internet access at home. And of course, if schools closed, we certainly don't want them congregating in other learning spaces like libraries and that sort of thing. But we do have a number of resources that are available online, and in addition to public television and that sort of thing. But the guidelines from the CDC and the Department of Education also recommend good old-fashioned homework packets, and that's one of the strategies that we're looking at. And in addition to that homework packet, we're looking at shelf-stable foodstuffs that we could package with the homework so that we can help mitigate some of that issue with children missing meals.
So, Ross Hammond of the Brookings Institution, you know, in conducting this report, do we know what it's cost so far, what the school closings we had at the end of last year and so far this school year have cost?
No, we haven't made a detailed estimate of that, but we do have these per student per week estimates that could allow some insight into that. There's a third point I just wanted to get into that is a very important result of our study, which is that some of these parents who have to stay home to care for kids will be healthcare workers. And we actually estimate this could amount to almost 20% of the healthcare workforce. And it's really not clear how the health system would continue to function very well with this many workers absent. So large-scale school closures have another cost, which is they could actually undermine other mitigation efforts, like the delivery of the vaccine or the treatment of the sick.
There was also an interesting Harvard study that more than many Americans said they'd probably lose their job if they stayed home for 7 to 10 days, and nearly 50% of them were minorities. Thanks to all of you. Ross Hammond is with the Brookings Institution. He's co-author of the report, The Economic Cost and healthcare workforce effects of school closures in the U.S. We also heard from Kathleen Murphy, RN and Health Services Coordinator for Milwaukee Public Schools, and Dr. Fahim Yunus, epidemiologist and a specialist in infection prevention.